Bryant. I met him when I first came to this fellowship, and he was helpful to me. He's been helpful to everyone since and before I came to this fellowship, because he lives the way he talks. And to me, that's the most important thing, living it and not talking it. We can all do well when we get up to talk. The question is, how do we live? And this man lives this fellowship. And I'm grateful to introduce to you now Ernie G. from Adrian, Michigan. Ernie, if you will, please.
Thank you for those kind remarks. My name is Ernie Gehrig, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm a part of AA, but I'm only one. And first of all, I'd like to congratulate the Columbus AA for the hospitality shown us on this 11th conference. It took a lot of people and a lot of work to make a gathering a success as it's been. I should like to thank each and every one of you for joining with us and each other in the fellowship of the Spirit, which makes us one. Coming together is the beginning. Keeping together is progress, and working together is success. Certainly over these years, in the past year, people have been working together to make this wonderful gathering here a success. And people sharing with each other their experiences, offering each other a hand of friendship and fellowship that is only known through this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the miracle. It's only enough proof that they must be someone greater than you and I. These things don't just happen. They must be a guiding hand somewhere guiding us to this fellowship. And I believe if we all look back, we will find certain circumstances and certain things happening beyond our control that guided us to AA. Drinking did some things for me, and I'll make it short. They made me a selfish, egotistical, unreliable, self-centered individual. I lost my sense of values. I became emotionally unbalanced, and it caused family problems and financial problems. I became a very remorseful individual. Need I say more about that? And it was in one of these remorseful stages that I took a pretty good inventory of myself and wondered what was happening to our life. And I found that 95% of my problems came directly or indirectly from a bottle of booze. So I said, I'm going to quit. And I couldn't. I couldn't quit on my own. We had a friend in Worcester, Ohio, who was a friend of Dr. Bob. When he was attending Oxford group meetings trying to get sober, and he gave to Ruth, the wife of Dr. Bob Smith, and he said, if Ernie ever wants to quit, tell him to go and see him. that God is working through him, and he can help a man that wants to do something about his drinking problem. He didn't mention AA. He just mentioned that God was working through this individual. After a year, 6 months or a year, I don't remember how long it was, I really fought the booze. But finally, one day, I woke up and said to Ruth, "Let's go see the doctor. I give up." And we got in the car and we drove to Akron. And we went up in the Second National Bank building and saw the doctor. And what did we find? We found that the doctor wanted to put me in the hospital so people could talk to me. I didn't want to go, but of course I went. I was sober. But I was seeking for something. Didn't know what. Sobriety was all. I found after I was there a group of individuals come up and see me. They offered me a hand of friendship. They didn't condemn me for drinking. They made me feel needed, useful, and wanted. They told me their stories. And I wondered whether or not I was qualified. The stories were that bad. That night, the doctor came up and wanted to know how I was doing, and I said that I didn't know if this was for me or not. I might still hear something that he asked me whether the nurse gave me a drink, and I told him that she offered me one, but I wouldn't take it. He said, "Why not?" I said, "I came here to find out how to quit drinking, not to drink." And I could see a smile on his face, and he reached down here with a big book. He had a big book in his hands. And the Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mount, and he said, "Ernie, you only drank 12 years. What assurance do you have that you're not going to get like those guys? Your answer is in here. Dig them out. I don't want to drink anymore. Do you?" And he left the room and left me there thinking about it. And I started reading. And I probably read practically all night that night. And I found that maybe I was an alcoholic. They really only asked me two questions over there. Really. "Do you think you have a drinking problem? And do you believe in God?" They didn't say a hush about God at that time. They just asked me straight out. And, of course, I do believe in God. I did believe in God. And I wasn't there for any other reason because I had a drinking problem. So I answered them in the affirmative. And I think this helped create within me a real desire to do something. And I accepted the first step in the program. And I'm powerless over alcohol, and my life had become unmanageable. And I came to believe in a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I always believed in a power greater than myself. All my life. I was willing to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. And I'm glad they put the word understand in there. Because I thought I had a lot of understanding, but I didn't have enough to turn my will and my life over to the care of God until I asked the good doctor what to do. "How are you doing that?" And he said, Ernie, don't make it complicated. Keep it in an easy manner. I'll give you my daily program, and you do it. And today I want to give you that little daily program that he handed to me. He said you believe in God, so each morning you get up in the morning, you pray and ask God to guide you through that day. Help him, help you to make a little better person this day in your own way, as you understand him. Not the way I understand him, not the way the wife, your wife understands him, but as you understand him. Now you can do that, can't you? Yes. And then I want you to share your experiences with somebody when the opportunity presents itself. It's the only way that you can share your experiences. It's the only way you can pay for these boys taking time out to help you. It is the only way you can grow in understanding. Just be willing to do these things. You don't need to evangelize it. Go home and live it, and someone will ask you. And that happens. And then come to a meeting over here on Wednesday night. The meeting's at 8:30. And be sure and bring your wife with you. If you don't bring her, we'll come and get her. Of course, I didn't want Ruth to have any credit for my sobriety. With all her prayers and understanding that she did last year that I was drinking, I'm sure pointed this life towards God. I'm sure that that made a decision. But egotistical earning. And so I had my daily devotion myself each morning. I told the wife, Ruth, you have yours. You do it your way. Doc said, I can do it my way. So that's the way we do it. And at the end of a six-month period, I missed something there about coming to meetings. I asked him why to come to meetings. He said, it's the only place you can go and be understood and associate yourself with people that are here, there, because of the same reason you're there. You can talk about a drinking problem and be understood and be laughed with. And you can talk about God as a layman and not be laughed at. You can share your experiences and you can ask questions and be understood. Go to meetings. It's a way of sharing. And so at the end of 6 months, I did this, and I woke up one morning and became thankful. I became thankful that I didn't need a drink anymore. And I think if any time I ever had a little spiritual experience, that was it. Because it seemed that I have not fought the booze since that morning. After I became thankful to God that I found a group of individuals that could help me, and all I need to do is put some action into the program. And I have continued to use the 12 steps as a guide to live by. I don't know all the answers to the 12 steps, and maybe that's good, because I'm learning something new every day. They are a great spiritual guidance. And I'm using those as my guide to live by, and I have been ever since I've been in AA. I use them as a guide to live by, and I'm trying to reach the four absolutes as a goal to reach. Honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. We talked about those a lot in those days, and we still talk a lot about them, because those are some big words to try to live by. We never reach perfection, but with a lot of fun trying them. We can make it. Try to make it a hardship, or we can be thankful that we got 12 steps to guide us towards them. And of course, honesty is nothing more than we got a little honest with ourselves when we first started to seek and look within ourselves and say, what's the matter with us? We got honest with ourselves when we went to look for AA. And we continue to be honest with ourselves when we follow the program to the best of our understanding and ability. And unselfishness, of course, we don't need to make that tough. That's nothing more than sharing and giving of ourselves, freely give, freely receive. It's what the good book says, the truths are old as the hills. And purity, of course, is a recognition that God is the source of all our supply. That God is the source of our good. And it keeps our thoughts in a positive manner. And of course, love is something else. That concludes it all. God is love, so the good book says. God is good. But I like the way Henry Drummond puts it in his book, The Greatest Thing in the World, in his essay on that. He says there's nine spectrums of love. Love is generosity. Love is patience. Love is kindness. Love is humility. Love is courtesy. And love is unselfishness. Love is good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. These are the make up the supreme gift. They are all in relationship to man, to life, to the unknown today and the near tomorrow, and not to the unknown eternity. End of quote. And I've asked myself many, many days, how kind have I been today? How unselfish? How courteous? And it seems to me, with all these ingredients that I try to follow each day, makes it a good life, and to that degree I am extending love to my fellow man. Try it. It works pretty good. Author Florence Ritchie wrote, put it in a little different way. She said, God has given every man a song to sing in the great chorus of life. God never makes mistakes. If I seem to be a discordant note in the universal choir, it is because I am not singing my own song. I like that. God in AA has changed my life. It's changed it in many ways. It changed it so that I needed self-discipline, and I needed to command myself to do the things that needed to be done. It caused me to look at myself and try to see the light. It taught me to take time to be quiet and alone, and be one with the Master. AA has opened the door, but I had to pass through it. AA has given me the freedom to dedicate my life to the service of others and to the glory of God. It has taught me to live each moment by moment and day by day. And with the help of all you people, and the help of the philosophy of AA and the prayers, one's life cannot help but change. And it's all changed to make me a little bit better person to be around. I think the continuation of this is the 11th step of this program, of which I am very fond of. I have been for a long, long time. I can remember, though, the first two or three years I was in AA, I skipped over that just like nothing. But nevertheless, it's a sign of growth. And I was the kind of guy that needed action, and I put action in to the program. But the continuation of all these good things, it seems to me, is continue to seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand them. Praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. That's a great challenge. That's a great challenge. And perhaps one of the greatest rewards of meditation and prayer is a sense of belonging that comes to us after we continue to do these things. The moment we catch an even a glimpse of the power greater in ourselves and the will, and the moment we see the truth and the justice and the love as the real and eternal things of life, then we begin to feel something deep within ourselves that words cannot describe. And as we continue to practice these principles, we learn to control our emotions. At least I did. And I began to find again a balanced life, a life of usefulness. And I became a part of the answer rather than a part of the problem. And I started to thinking about what is right for today rather than what was wrong with the past. And after all, I don't live there anymore. And I can't live on the mistakes of the past any more than I can live on the laurels of yesterday. I need to continue to practice these principles day by day, every day. And I want to remember to have that faith in God and know that God is the answer. And to remember to ask Him each day to guide me through this day. And I want to remember to count my many blessings. No matter how tough the day is, there's many blessings that happen. They may be hard to find, but they're there. And if I can see them and thank God for them, I'll forget my troubles. And I want to remember to be thankful for the privilege of being a part of a fellowship such as this. To think what I was before and to think what group of people I know and are friends today. Transmitting to me that feeling of love and security and friendship. Words cannot describe it. You know what I'm talking about. I want to remember to take what I found and use it in the spirit of love and service to mankind. And I want to remember, too, that my life is just as unmanageable today as it was when I got into AA without God's help. I need that help today. It's there. And I want it. And good belongs to everyone. To seek, to live, to find, and to share. And I want to remember to give to AA my interest, my enthusiasm, my devotion, and most of all, myself. Not for any personal glory, but for the glory of God, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, not mine. I want to remember to live this day to the glory of the One, in the fulfillment of that part of His plan, which is mine to fulfill. And doing these things, I know that I shall have and you shall have a good life. And we will live and know and show that we know a higher life. And I, on this conference, I think it's always a good time at anniversaries or conferences. To sort of rededicate our life and accept the challenge that's in the big book. I like that very much. and where it says, and I quote, "Abandon yourself to God as you understand Him. Admit to him and your fellows your faults. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find, and we shall meet on a road to a happy destiny." That's a great challenge. I like that. And if we continue to do that, we'll grow. I have shared with you some of the things that I have found and have been real to me. And there are many ways of finding our oneness with our Maker, as there are people seeking. However, we can keep looking within ourselves to find that inner light, to find that power of good in our own way and degree of understanding. And certainly, I am not here to tell you what to do and how to do it, but I was only here today to share with you some of the things that have been real to me. And I would not interfere with any creed of yours, nor want it to appear that I had all the cures. There is so much to do, so many things are true. The way my feet must go may not be best for you. And so I gave that spark of what is light to me to guide you through the dark, not tell you what to see. May God bless you all.